You are listening to the Portland Christian Center podcast. This week, we hear from Pastor Ray about God's purpose for our lives and how we can live into that. Here's Pastor Ray.
Well, I feel a little bit like the Egyptian mummy this morning. Press for time. So let's jump right into, you know, Pastor Matt mentioned this morning that we would, in our staff prayer time, that we would have a symphony of praise and then a symphony of the word, and I so wish I would have gone first so I didn't have to follow these guys. What a joyous morning this has been so far, but I do want to speak to you from God's word for just a few minutes. By far, the defining moment in life, in my humble opinion. You know, when someone uses that phrase, humble opinion, it really isn't their humble opinion. It is their egotistical opinion, and that's why they say that. But in my humble opinion, the defining moment in life is discovering God's purpose for you. Amen. Discovering God's purpose for you. That aha moment changes everything in life. It fills you with confidence and direction in life. You know, some people don't have direction in life. That's because they don't understand God's purpose for their life. It leads you to success, and not just success, but success with significance in life. It unleashes satisfaction like no other in life. The revelation that God created you to contribute to the building of His eternal kingdom is life's crown jewel. I love how the Apostle Paul says it in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, my favorite verse, I think, in all the Bible. It says, "For we are God's workmanship." Everybody say the word workmanship. Workmanship, yeah. In the Greek language, the word is poema. We get our word poem from it. You're God's poem. You're God's work of art. You were God's masterpiece. Turn to somebody and in all humility say, "I'm God's masterpiece." Because that's what you are. We are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance. God prepared before you were even born for you, for me to do. Now think about this. Before your parents conceived you, and if my kids were here, they would say, "We don't really want to think about that, Mom and Dad." But before your parents conceived you, God had already conceived you for things beyond your wildest imagination. David said in Psalm 139, "God, you shaped me first inside, then out. You formed me in my mother's womb. You know exactly how I was made, bit by bit, how I was sculpted from nothing into something. You saw me before I was born and scheduled each day of my life in your book, even before I began to breathe." Wow. Now, just a sidebar. You know, there's a lot in the news these days about state legislatures in New York and in Virginia considering abortion laws and making it permissible for a baby, a life, to be aborted right up until the 9th month and maybe even beyond. And honestly, I don't know how you can be a God-fearing, God's word-honoring believer and be okay with that. I mean, I don't want to be real political here, but This is not a political statement. This is a moral issue. And as believers and as the church, we need to find ways to speak into this situation to promote the sanctity, you know, God's holiness over life. And we need to do it with grace and dignity, but we need to do it. We need to do it. That's just a sidebar. It's for free. Job chapter 10, verse 8 says, "God's hands shaped me and made me." And so today, you are not here physically, and you are not here existentially by the will of your mom and dad, but God designed and built you for His purpose. God designed and built you for His purpose. And as C.S. Lewis wrote in his book, Weight of Glory, that literally puts a great weight of glory on your shoulders. Not a bad weight, it's a good weight, a weight of glory. Lewis said that so glorious is your divine design that it should tempt you to worship your redeemed self. Now, he's speaking in hyperbole, but really, if we understood the divine design, the creation that God has wrought in us, we would be tempted to worship our redeemed self. We are not ordinary. We are not mere mortals. And when you experience that aha moment, you are on your way to a life that few ever find. Now, another aha moment in life that I think even fewer still discover, is that God's glorious purpose for you is fulfilled only in, with, and through His family, the church. Now, that might sound severe to you. Maybe that makes you uncomfortable. And I think the reason for that is because as Americans, we have been raised in this philosophy of rugged individualism. And that philosophy has done much to help us to build this nation into the greatest nation in the history of earth. I mean, it's a great philosophy. I think it's being struck down more and more these days. But we have been raised in rugged individualism, the philosophy of. And that's not a bad thing. But in the kingdom of God, there's a corporateness, a responsibility that we have to one another. When God saves us, He doesn't save us to be saved individuals. He saves us to be a part of His family. And God didn't create you to be a spectator on Sundays, just to sit, to sing, and to slip out the back, Jack, before I have a chance to shake your hand. But He made you to be a part of us so that together we could be kingdom builders. And I use that term broadly, not in the sense of our program for missions and for projects, kingdom builders, but for us literally and spiritually to be builders of His eternal, indestructible kingdom. See, along with our talents, our passions, our personalities, through each of us, God has also given spiritual gifts to the church. Through us, God has given the church spiritual gifts. And your gifts, your spiritual gifts, and you have one at least, you have probably several, your gifts empower your natural abilities that enable us to produce supernatural kingdom advancements. And so therefore, God says to you, to me, to each of us, each of you should use whatever gift that you have received to serve others. God's plan is that you and I would leverage our collective design to build something that will last, His kingdom. You know, in this life, we build a lot of things, and those things won't last. The one thing that will last, it will last forever, is the kingdom of God. And we are a part of that, and we've been given an opportunity and an assignment to build that. That's why you're alive. That's why you have been born again. That's why you are here in God's family, to build something indestructible. Now, according to that last verse, the way we build His built-to-last kingdom is by serving. Serving, broadly defined in the Bible, is called ministry. Now, when I say the word ministry, you probably think of guys like me, your very hip, cool pastor, the senior minister. But Scripture says that every believer is a minister. Not every believer is a pastor, and you should say thank God for that. And I say thank God for that because I love what I do. I'm glad I have that role. So not every believer is a pastor, but every believer is a minister. Turn to somebody and say, hey, you're a minister. He's talking to you. We're all ministers. Now, in Scripture, the word service and the word ministry are one and the same, as is the word servant and the word minister. It's the Greek word diakoneo. Deacon is a word that we get from that. To serve, to minister. Now, ministry, and I hope you'll write this down in your notes, ministry simply means using my divine design to serve God's people and God's purpose on God's behalf. Write that down. Put that in your memory. Take a picture of the screen. Ministry is simply using my divine design to serve God's people and God's purpose on God's behalf. Now, in all that I've said so far, perhaps you're thinking that I'm way overstating your potential for kingdom building. Perhaps you're not buying into this idea of what God has engineered and built into you, your divine design. Maybe that's why you've never considered that the work that you do outside of the church, whether you're a cashier or a contractor or a chiropractor or a CEO, is your ordination, your call into ministry, into service for God. It is. Whatever you do outside of here, that is your ministry, that is your calling. You are ordained for that. It could be that's why you're a bench warmer instead of a starter on a dream team. Because you haven't discerned this. You haven't come into this revelation yet. And if that's you, you couldn't be further from what God created for you to do, for why God created you, and you're missing out. Listen, again, as C.S. Lewis said in his book, you are no mere mortal. You are not ordinary by any stretch of the imagination. All of us in this room are divinely designed. And therefore, each of us without exception, doesn't matter who you are, each of us are vitally needed. You're important. Some of you will remember back in 1981 when a young man by the name of John Hinckley shot President Reagan. And the president was hospitalized for several weeks. Now, Reagan was the nation's CEO, but his hospitalization had little impact on the nation's activity. America continued on. We continued on. Right about that same time in the city of Philadelphia, garbage collectors went on strike. The piles of stinking trash became a health crisis, and literally the city came to a standstill. Now, let me ask you a question. Who's more important, presidents or garbage guys? Don't say anything out loud right now. I know what some of you are thinking. That really is an irrelevant question because everybody's needed. Everybody's important. We all have a role. We all have a part to play. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 22 says that we are all part of Christ's body, and parts that seem weaker are actually indispensable. You know, I think the first believers, the believers in the first century, got that way better. They got that. They understood that way better than we do. Listen, their churches weren't big and sophisticated like today. I mean, they didn't have churches like this. They didn't have buildings like this. They didn't have paid staff and seminary-trained pastors. They met in small homes. If you've ever been in a home in the ancient, underdeveloped world, if you've been in a home in the ancient world, you're really old. Homes are not big. They're not sophisticated. They're not large enough to have groups of 20 or 30 or 40 people. They probably were churches of 10 to 15 people is all. And they were led by ordinary people. They were served by ordinary people, shopkeepers and merchants and farmers and day laborers. But they knew, they understood that in serving God's small flock, they were building God's indestructible kingdom. They got that way better than we do. They played a part. Listen, what's your part? I mean, this is a serious question. Do you know your part in the body of Christ, in the kingdom of God? Do you understand your divine design? Where are you designed to build? Are you building with your life, with your one and only life, are you building something that will last? Listen, I make no apology as your pastor saying that the most important thing that you can do with your life, more than fortune, more than fame, is serving God's small flock to build God's big family. Because through God's big family, we build something eternally indestructible. The kingdom of God. Do you know where God has called you to serve and what he has called you to build? I want to challenge you this morning. Discover your part and then get after it. Do some praying. Do some reading. Do some dialoguing with other people. Come to the one day grow track. That's partly why we're doing this, to help you to figure out what that looks like for you, to discover your spiritual gifts and how all that works together to shape you into God. Who God has created you to be, but just discover your part and then get after it, whatever that is. And it is something. Again, without exception, every single person here has a part to play. Whatever it is, discover it, get after it, and then serve like Jesus would. if he were in your place? That's your assignment. Not from me, but from him. Serve like Jesus would if he were in your place. Since you were saved to become like Jesus, you were also saved to serve like Jesus. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 20, verse 28, "So your attitude must be like mine. For I did not come to be served, but to serve." Your attitude should be like mine, Jesus says. I want you to focus on that word attitude, because before I close, God will speak. God will speak to you. God is going to speak to you, whether you listen or not, whether you respond or not. God will speak to you before you leave this place about the attitude of servanthood that he is calling you to take on. And in a word, that attitude is the attitude of availability. God is just looking for available people. That's the attitude. Serving like Jesus means being available to reorient your busy life to make ministry a priority. Remember, ministry is simply using my divine design to serve God's people and God's purposes on God's behalf. Rearranging your life to make ministry a priority. There's a great example of this in Jesus' life in Scripture, Matthew chapter 20, verses 31 and 32, where Jesus is walking along a road and he's going to the city of Jericho. And as he's walking, there are two blind guys off to the side of the road. They hear that Jesus, the miracle worker, is coming by, and they begin yelling at the top of their lungs, "Jesus, Lord, have mercy on us." And then the text says something interesting. Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped and he called to them, "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus stopped. Amazing. God, because Jesus was God, turned aside to make himself accessible to two outcasts, marginalized, hopeless, no future. He made himself available. I want you to think about this. Most of Jesus' ministry and most of Jesus' miracles were interruptions. They weren't planned. They were divine interruptions, divine appointments. And what we see as interruptions, what we see as inconveniences, Jesus saw as invitations to serve. That's the attitude of availability that we are being called to cultivate. Attitude of availability. But to do that, we've got to overcome some things. We'll have to overcome way too busy schedules. Anyone like me, your schedule is way too busy. You look at my calendar and you probably would faint. So much in it. Our lives are filled with things that are incompatible with availability. We've got to reorient. We've got to get radical with some things. Matthew 6:33 says, "Put God's work first and do what he wants, and then the other things will be yours as well." We're going to have to overcome a way too busy schedule. We will have to overcome our self-centeredness. I'm not saying you're selfish, although selfishness is a part of who our sinful selves are, but we are self-centered. We center on ourselves. We have to overcome that. Philippians chapter 2, verse 4 says, "In serving like Christ, you've got to forget yourself long enough to lend a helping hand." You got to forget yourself a little bit. And then we're going to have to overcome our perfectionism. What do I mean by that? We have to quit waiting for the perfect time. We have to quit waiting for more time. We have to quit waiting for kids' soccer season to be over, or for football season to be over, or for whatever to be over, when life isn't so hectic, when I retire, when I have more capacity. I love this verse, Ecclesiastes 11:4. It says, "If you wait for perfect conditions, you'll never get anything done." Anyone besides me, can you testify to that? If you wait for perfect conditions, it never comes. And you don't get anything done. There's a parable in Matthew chapter 25, a parable of the talents or the parable of the stewards. And there are three guys that were given some talents to invest for the Lord. And one of those guys was judged very harshly. And the reason he was judged and judged harshly was because he was guilty of waiting for the right moment. If he would just have risked it, he wouldn't have received the rebuke from the Lord, but he was waiting for perfect conditions. Listen, serving like Christ means being available right now. Serving like Jesus means being available, not tomorrow, but right now, to serve his purpose. So the question is, are you? Are you available, whatever that means for you, in the church or through the church or with the church, are you available to serve God's people and God's purposes on his behalf? Jesus said of himself that I came to serve, not to be served, and then to give my life away. He's referring to his death. I came not to be served, but to serve and to give my life as a ransom for many. That is the attitude Jesus requires from you. That's the attitude the Lord, your master, requires from you. Are you available? Will you serve? Will you figure that out and get after it? And apparently back in the American Revolution, there was a man in civilian clothes who was riding on a horse, and he rode past some soldiers who had stopped to repair a defensive barrier. And their leader was yelling at them, but not helping them. And so the rider stopped, and he asked the leader why he wasn't helping. And their leader looked up and at the stranger and said, "Sir, I'm a corporal. I don't need to help. I'm a corporal." So the rider dismounted, and he started helping the soldiers. And when the job was done, he said, "Corporal, the next time there's a job to be done and you have too few men to do it, call your commander in chief, and I will drop everything to come help you." It was George Washington. Wrong day not to help out, right? Can you imagine? Listen, there is a commander-in-chief far more important, far more famous, far more powerful than George Washington, Jesus Christ, your commander-in-chief. And he will hold you accountable for serving as he did. He said in a place, John chapter 13, to his disciples after he had washed their feet, he said, "I have set an example for you that you should do as I have done. A servant is not greater than his master." And he will hold us accountable for the attitude of availability and the willingness to serve. But listen, this isn't just about coercing you into something this morning, because the same commander-in-chief will reward you for when you do. I love this verse in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10. It says that Jesus, he will not forget how hard you have worked for him and how you have loved him by serving others. How you have loved him by serving others. Would you bow your heads with me? Cheryl, would you come to the piano and just play behind me here as we just take a moment before we leave to contemplate what the Lord has said to us? Again, God has spoken to you. God has spoken to you. What are you going to do with it? I don't know what that means for you. You've got to figure that out. I'll be glad to give you my opinion. Others will help you. But God is calling you. Discover my purpose. I created you for this. And when you get after it, you will build something that is built to last. What is that? In the church, with the church, through the church. In your job, what is that for you? Just ask the Lord to help you, and he will. So I'm going to ask you to pray a prayer with me, and I'm going to just lead us in a very simple prayer. I'll pray it, and then you pray after me, a phrase at a time, very short, very simple. You ready? Dear God, here I am. Use me. I'm available, and I want to fulfill your purpose by serving your people on your behalf. Show me what that means, and I will do it. In Jesus' name, amen. Would you stand with me, please? Look at that. It's 11:59. I beat it by 1 minute. Wow. Don't try that at home. I'm a professional. I've been trained to do that. Would you raise your hand, stretch them out, allow me to bless you as you go? Listen, as you go, you walk out these doors and out the door and off the parking lot, you are going into your mission field. God has empowered you. He's designed you. He's created you to build an indestructible kingdom through your life, through your lips. He'll help you to do it. He'll be with you. In fact, he said, look, wherever you go, I will be with you, even to the end of the age. And so may you go in the presence of God and in the power of the Holy Spirit, and may you build something that is built to last. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and all God's people said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a great week. We'll see you on Saturday, if not Saturday, on Sunday.
Thanks again for listening to this week's edition of the Portland Christian Center podcast. If you want more information about the ministries of Portland Christian Center or have a prayer need, please visit us online at pcctoday.com. Thanks for listening.